You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you familiar with The Builders? Who is Bill Doreen? Why is he important? And how much do you love him after this, or during this?
Metze Bar, your source for all things NZIFF, thanks to the best place to go before or after.
We are right in the middle of New Zealand's International Film Festival. Ooh, fancy that. Not so international, more national, more parochial is Simon Oxton's new documentary, Bill Doreen, A Memory of Others. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Mikey.
How are you? Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks.
Must be nice to have this documentary as part of the film festival. You have done documentaries about enigmatic and fancy and important New Zealand artists in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Skeptics, Philip Dadson, Squirm, Chance R&B, a few.
And this your latest documentary, Bill Doreen, A Memory of Others, is about the very talented and fascinating Bill Doreen.
Yeah, Bill Doreen's sort of a unique figure in New Zealand music and arts, really. Sort of spans the world of underground rock and literature and theatre. Yeah, unusual combination.
We're very deeply loved by a lot of New Zealanders, though. But for those people who don't know much about him, give us a little encapsulation of who is the man.
Well, I mean, it's a difficult career to sum up, but I mean, Bill started out as a folkie in the mid-70s in Christchurch and then heard the Velvet Underground along with a few friends and started a group called Vacuum. This is before punk arrived, and then went on to play in various iterations of a group generally known as The Builders throughout the 1980s, actually put out Flying Nun Records' first LP, which
was
called Beaten Heart.
LP?
yeah, the first LP, Beating Hearts, a bit of a classic, recently reissued on vinyl. And then he went on to, yeah, he's just explored a whole bunch of different genres musically, as well as publishing numerous novels and collections of poetry. So, interesting person.
How did you choose Bill for this documentary? How did the documentary come about?
I just emailed Bill and asked him if he'd be interested.
So you're a fanboy, big fanboy.
Well, I only really started seriously listening to his music a couple of years ago, to be honest. I've been familiar with his name for a long time. I mean, I'm from Christchurch, like Bill, so I guess his profile is a little bit higher there than throughout the rest of the country. I'm a big fan, obviously. Yeah.
And when you decided to do a documentary about him, was it just because you found him fascinating?
Yeah, I mean, I saw this as an opportunity to make a film that was a little bit more poetic than sort of something that my previous films have been a bit more archival-based, I suppose. So I thought, given the fact that Bill is a poet, I thought this was an opportunity to get a little bit more creative with this cinematic side of things and incorporate his poetry into my piece of cinema.
Must be quite weird for an artist when someone calls up and says, "Hey, I want to do a documentary about you. I kind of like your stuff." How was Bill when you first put it to him?
Yeah, he was open to it from the get go. You know, I mean, it must be kind of flattering, I guess, to hear that someone wants to make a film about your career. We didn't actually meet until I arrived at Dunedin Airport, and he picked Jeff Smith and I up, and we drove to his house in Middlemarch in Central Otago, and started filming straight away.
I want to do a documentary about you. Can you pick me up?
yeah, we all squeezed into the Honda Odyssey. That was the first challenge, and it got us all the way to Auckland.
That in itself, very, very poetic. You've got a man who's quoting Shakespeare and then sticking the Odyssey decal back on his car before he makes the huge journey up to Auckland.
Yeah.
Now, that was his first tour after a while, is that correct, the journey you follow him on?
Yes, in about 10 years, I think. I mean, Bill spent a large number of years recently living overseas, and I guess his profile has sort of diminished a little as a result of that. But, you know, this film and the tour last year and the shows he's playing around the festival this year is just bringing him back into the spotlight a little bit, which I think is well-deserved because there really is no one else like him in this country.
It looks like a beautiful movie you've got there, Simon, and you must be very proud to document someone like this. It must be nice when you finish up a movie like this and go, "Oh, look at what I've done him a world. Look, that's, I've got it exactly how I wanted it. Boom," you know. And to be following a tour for the, like, say, first time in 10 years. What made this tour in particular special?
Well, it was a tour organised to make the most of Bill's musical talents and collaborators, but also to branch off into slightly different areas of New Zealand culture. So, as well as
did he sort of gear the tour to fit the documentary, or, you know, did you work around the tour?
We organised the tour together, so it was a reasonably complicated thing to organise for the two of us, but we managed to get there in the end. So he played a large number of shows with different groups every time, ranging from sort of his first collaborators from back in the 70s to a group of primary school students in Wellington. We also went off the track and visited places like Janet Frame's house in Oamaru and Jerusalem on the Whanganui River, where James K. Baxter's commune used to be. So we sort of expanded it beyond just Bill's story to just take a bit of a look at New Zealand's culture through his eyes.
But as you say, when the film starts out and he's having a radio interview, not just a story about him, but what are his words exactly? It's you creating a snapshot of a group of people who might not be able to exist anymore, people who have had more time to take time off and figure out what they wanted to do, mess about in theatre, mess about in writing and music. He kind of quite sadly looks at today's youth and goes, "You've got a lot more pressure now. You might not be able to exist the way it did back when he was young."
Oh, that's hard. Yeah, I think that's a heavy concept.
Yeah, I think it's a really important message, actually. I guess he's sort of talking about neoliberalism and its effect on our culture today and young people and students in particular. I think it's true that, you know, the financial pressures of pay-as-you-go higher education in particular, people just have less time and opportunity to explore their creativity, and I guess we're all poorer in a way as a result.
It's true. It's true. We think that things are a lot easier, but in fact, what the situation is that everyone's in this desperate clutch for success as quickly as they can for as long as they can, and everyone forgets that it's actually not success; it's the getting there that's more fun.
I think. You go.
I'd balance that by saying that. I mean, I don't think it was ever easy to be a full-time artist, and Bill has shown an extraordinary amount of commitment to, you know, spend the best part, well, more than the last 40 years, full-time working on his music and his writing. That's not easy at any point in time, and he continues to do it.
But the most interesting people are those people that are prepared to forego fame and glory, I guess, for the integrity of their art, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been open to exploring new genres, and that's made it difficult for his audience to follow his career. Sort of a branding issue, I guess you could say.
But it shows he's more than just a brand. You know, if there's a branding issue all the time, that means the brand's continually changing, and that's to me, that's a real artist, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when Bill started, late 70s, early 80s, I mean, they were quite sort of political times, full of political activism, I guess. And I think there was a real sort of, among a certain group of people, there was a real determination not to create a product as such, but, you know, to be all about creating an art with integrity. And I think that's something that he's still got.
It's an amazing movie, Simon. And you,
beautiful.
And you and Bill will be doing a Q&A after both of the screenings at the film festival, which are on Friday the 4th and Saturday the 5th of August, this Friday and Saturday, at the Vent Cinemas in Queen Street. Are you excited about doing a Q&A?
Yeah, no, I enjoy them. I mean, it's great to take the movie out. I mean, it's sort of a solitary pursuit. A large amount of the time, documentary filmmaking, sort of sitting in front of a computer. So yeah, it's neat to take it out and to meet people and to just get the feedback and talk to people. It's great. Take it around the country.
Builder In and the Builders are also playing Golden Dawn on the Friday after the first screening of the film. So sandwiched in between the two, doors open at 9. So
I hope he doesn't have too big a night at Golden Dawn, because oftentimes that can escalate into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
He's got a Q&A the next day.
He does. It's got to be sensible.
So you might want to keep that in check,
Simon.
He'll be fine. Professional, eh? Hey, Simon Oxton, congratulations on your documentary, Builder In, A Memory of Others. You and Bill doing the Q&A after both screenings on Friday and Saturday. Thanks very much for joining us on The Breakfast Show.
Thank you both. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
This is a song that features quite heavily in the film. Special pick of the director, even. This is The Builders with Alien. And if you wish to buy tickets for this Friday or this Saturday, you can do so at nziff.co.nz.
Boy comes to get you, breathes in your face. Feel like an alien run out of space. Alien, world seems very small. You thought it was big. Trench coat takes a cigarette out of his wig. Alien, your hands you wish they'd crumble, and your presence spreads like a stain. Scratched on the sky, see the remains of your plane.
There's something I need to tell you.
Everything's very big. It's really very big.
The reason you're here, the reason I'm here, is all just to help you.
Everyone says they're trying to help me, but nobody can find me the new episode of Brigsby.
There wasn't a new episode this week. This is about moving on with the rest of your life.
Try to imagine a hero.
Just be normal, all
right? Hi, I'm James. I really like your clothes.
He's not on the bad side.
You know from the music that this is a trailer.
He's on the good side.
Yes!
Oh my God, I'm into it. I'm not even looking at it. It's cool.
Bear, our keeper of the light.
Have you ever been with a girl?
And you really want to do this with me?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's not a lot of stuff like this out there.
You're my friend.
It's pretty hard to express how this film looks as well. I'm going to do my best. All right, so that was the trailer for Brigsby Bear. Brigsby Bear is a film in the festival. This is the last of our NZIFF segments. So we had Simon talking about his Bill Doreen documentary before the half hour, and now I'm going to give you a review of Brigsby Bear.
Brigsby Bear.
So you may have noticed over the course of the past 5 weeks that we've been getting in people to review films on kind of their specialist subjects. We had Penny reviewing a film on fashion. We had our creative director reviewing an incredibly creative film. One of our DVD reviewers reviewing a film. And now you've got me reviewing Brigsby Bear, because it's about children's television.
Yeah.
Which is probably...
Yay! Tell me, what's the most radical radio station in the whole wide world?
Anyway, yep.
Yay! It's not completely about children's television. Brigsby Bear is a film that came out this year. It's American. It is produced by some of the Lonely Island boys. And before you turn the radio off, if somebody said to me, "Hey, Sarah, do you want to go to the movies? Is that a movie done by the..." I'd be like, "Nah, I'm good."
Really?
I'm okay.
Dick in a box, not your thing?
It's time and a place. But I don't think I could handle a whole movie of it.
A movie of it, right?
Yeah. Where were you going with that? So Brigsby Bear is a movie about a young man who has been raised basically in a bunker by his parents. He assumes a post-apocalyptic event where the air outside is unbreathable, but it's cool because he's got pretty sweet parents and they homeschool him, and they live in this lovely little self-contained universe. His dad's really inspiring. His dad's played by Mark Hamill, which is...
Mark Hamill, that's Luke Skywalker. Whoop, blah, 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 blah.
And he knocks it out of the park, which is something I never really thought I'd say about Mark Hamill's acting skills. But a lot of films, all is not as it seems. Kind of on a Truman Show bent, when you realise that the world around you is created to keep you captive, or you're a bit of an experiment. While he is in this captive world, his favourite thing is receiving VHS tapes of a kids' show called Brigsby Bear. Brigsby is a full mascot, a children's entertainer in the vein of Barney or a Teletubby,
Or a Bungle from Rainbow?
Is Bungle full body?
Full body, yeah, Bungle is, yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey, that guy.
I thought he was a three-hander.
No, you're thinking of George the Hippo, or perhaps George. Maybe Jeffrey.
But okay, that Rainbow is an excellent comparison, because this kid's TV show, it looks pretty batty. It looks like it's from the golden age of VHS, kind of late 80s, early 90s, rainbow colours. There are even rainbow twins. But the messages that bring...
Like, Ray and Bo from Rainbow's End.
A little bit.
My brother played Ray or Bo sometimes when he's out there. Yeah.
But
you see, a lot of kids kick them in the genitals a lot of the times when he's playing Ray and Bo.
My old job has a mascot at Rainbow's End. That's kind of true.
Genital kickers.
Anyway, Brigsby Bear. So the messages that this kids' TV show tell this young man, who's possibly too old to be watching kids' TV, are very specific. Independence is bad. The family unit is the only thing that matters. You should eat organic foods. I'm sure your parents give you some. I don't want to spoil the main crux of the film, but he exits the bunker life is a bit fruity, but his main point of reference for everything is this kid's TV show, which has shaped who he is.
So this is Mark Hamill plays that guy?
No, Mark Hamill plays the father figure.
So Greg Kinnear, who's in every good indie movie, he straddles the line perfectly, doesn't he?
He plays another father figure.
Okay, so all right, good. And the beautiful Claire Danes.
Beautiful Claire Danes.
You might know if such things as Romeo and Juliet or Homeland.
But it's one of those classic things of, say, Jim Carrey's character when he exits the Truman Show. Everybody says, you got to leave that shit behind you, man. It's going to hold you back. It's going to mess with your head. When in actual fact, sometimes assimilation of everything you know is the best answer. And if you can do that through a kids' TV show, it's my kind of film. It's really good. I hope I haven't undersold it.
When's it showing,
it's
Sarah?
It's got two more screenings. One is August the 3rd at ASB Waterfront, which has fucking fantastic sound if you haven't been there to watch a film yet. And August the 6th at the Hollywood Avondale, which is possibly the best venue in the country to watch this film because...
Good call.
Matt Timpson is definitely a child of the golden age of VHS. There'll be a lot of love in that room.
Awesome. Also, so the movie's called Brigsby Bear. Brigsby Bear came out this year, directed by Dave McCary. Beautiful. And you've given it the two thumbs up, Sarah.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see it in Sydney, and I'm a bit sad it hasn't got more of a push in the New Zealand Film Festival because it's definitely worth it.
Thank you very much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.